And welcome, friends, to this edition of the Grace Hour. We're broadcasting live right here from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore, Maryland. And welcome, friends, to our Thursday edition of the Grace Hour. Great to have you with us, and hope you'll stay with us for the full hour-long broadcast. And when we open those phone lines following our message today, we hope you'll join us. And it's quite simple to do that. Get to a phone, dial one of these numbers, and you can share your thoughts with us. Questions, comments, testimonies, counseling needs, prayer requests. You'd like to weigh in and share your thoughts about the message that we'll be listening to today. We welcome your phone calls. And the toll-free number in all of North America is 800-338-7060. Again, that is toll-free, both in Canada and the United States, 800-338-7060. And the local number here in the Baltimore area, for all of you that are listening locally, and we hope to hear from many of you, pardon me, that number is 410-483-3700. And again, we welcome your thoughts and your participation in our broadcast. And as we gather here in our studios on this Thursday morning, we're grateful for all of you. And again, as you heard on yesterday's broadcast, we are anticipating the possibility of a international 800 number, which will give our listeners around the world an opportunity to join us toll-free. And we're excited about that possibility and looking forward to more news about that. And when that becomes a reality, we will let you know. And all of you, regardless as to where you are, you can give us a call on a toll-free number. Well, today, friends, of course, is Thursday, and each and every Thursday, we play a message from Grace Hour, founder of the broadcast and host for many, many years, Pastor Stevens. And fitting in beautifully with our theme this week on the Grace Hour, his message is entitled, The Subject of Prayer. And I want to point out to you that this message was preached in April of 1985. Now, I'm getting ready to listen to it along with all of you, but I have a sense that it's going to be relevant, practical, and timely, to be sure. So stay tuned for that. What we're going to do is listen to Pastor Stephen's message in three different portions, and then at the end of each of those three portions, we will take a break, and Pastor Jason Moore, who's joined me in the studio, will make our thoughts and comments available to you, and of course, we're going to give you a chance to weigh in and share your thoughts about the message as well. We do want to mention also that today in our nation, it's a National Day of Prayer. So we hope that you're making a provision to set aside some time to just seek God on behalf of our nation, for our country, for the world, for the conflict that's raging the other side of the world in Ukraine, and for so many needs that we have as a nation, as a race. And of course, we're looking forward to hearing from you when those phone lines are open. So if you'd like to join us then and share what your prayer requests might be, don't hesitate. But without further ado, let's turn our attention now to today's Grace Hour message from the founder of the broadcast, Pastor Carl Stevens. Again, it's entitled, The Subject of Prayer.
Now, if I said to you, breathe without ceasing, I don't think you'd have any problem with that at all. So I just want to say this to our television folks. Listen, don't stop breathing. Please, breathe without ceasing. Now, you say, I don't know as I've ever, thought about stopping in my breathing. You know, I plan to keep on breathing as long as the Lord allows me to. So I'll just say, whatever you do, do not do what maybe you did as a little child, trying to get your own way, you know, holding your breath until, isn't that amazing? You stop and think of that over. I mean, a child will literally, if they're stubborn enough and rebellious enough and manipulating enough, they will literally stop breathing long enough to turn color, right? Black and, not black and blue, but it'll turn blue, right? All right. Now, just imagine this. How far a child will go to get their own way. They'll risk dying to me at that young age. I mean, a little baby. And already the child knows that if they do that, you'll be so concerned, you'll give in. That's amazing, isn't it? You talk about old sin nature in the little sweetheart. Now, you think with me. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. See what a contrast that is? Pray without ceasing. So, prayer is to the Christian, all through grace, prayer in itself doesn't merit spirituality. It's a privilege and provision of God's grace in communion with Jesus Christ as an opportunity afforded the royal member of God's family in his priesthood to really get into this business of talking with God, not just talking to God. Talking with God and not just talking to God. So here is the privilege of prayer. Now, pray without ceasing. The Bible says in Revelation, the 5th chapter and the 8th verse, that the prayers of the saints are precious. The prayers of the saints are precious. Every one of them, the beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, and having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Now, Revelation chapter 8 and verse 3 says that the prayer ascends as an incense before God. And another angel came and stood over the altar, right over the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should add it unto the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints went up before God out of the angel's hands. I want you to think of it then, the time we have together in this telecast and our service, that the prayers of the saints are precious. Secondly, that it ascends as incense before God. Prayer. How many people do not understand this? That Jesus Christ knew it all through foreknowledge, paid for it all through going to the cross, and paid for man's sin and the unlimited atonement. But every believer has been given free will. And every unbeliever has been given free will. And when we exercise our free will toward Jesus Christ, death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and believe in the gospel and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we're saved. But we have to believe to be saved. Come to him and believe on it by grace, through faith in the gospel.
Well, that's the first portion, friends, of today's message, the subject of prayer. And just to get us started, Pastor Jason, I'm going to focus on a couple of statements we heard in the message from Pastor Stevens. Number one, that prayer is a privilege of God's grace afforded to every royal member of God's family. And this statement in particular touched me. Prayer does not equal spirituality. Some people think it does, but we heard in that message, it's not the case. It's a privilege. It's not, you know, someone who prays, let's say, for instance, a lot, someone who constantly finds themselves interceding for others. That's a blessing. That's a privilege. They're taking full advantage of the opportunity that God has given them through access to him by prayer. But it's not the equivalent of spirituality. And I think that that's important because sometimes you hear people say, well, you know, you've got to read your Bible more, you've got to pray more, you've got to give more, you've got to attend church more. All of that gives you the idea that, well, if I do those things, I will find myself, you know, receiving even more favor from God. But that simply is not the case. It's a privilege. And to ignore it and to not take full advantage of it is to ignore the great privilege that prayer is.
Yeah, that takes the pressure off, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Performance, you know, in our industrious minds, we are all geared to produce, but prayer, the breath of the believer, Martin Luther said, is a privilege. And I love the word you used. It's access. Like if we think of it like we have access to God, and that just like our breathing, you know, brings in oxygen to our body, it's the same thing. We're breathing in faith. We're breathing in grace. We're breathing in hope. We're breathing in wisdom and exhaling the response to that. But I love what you said, like we can get into this performance versus, you know, it's a pride thinking that, you know, we somehow earn what God has so graciously given. And it's all by grace. It's all by grace.
Yeah. And ignore that access. And then you can find yourself needing or lacking. And we're reminded of what we read in the book of James, the 4th chapter, the 2nd verse. pretty simple. You have not simply because you ask not. Mm. And again, we have this great access. If we don't exercise it, we're going to miss out. And then we're going to find ourselves perhaps lacking, spiritually speaking, in our lives. Not the things that we sometimes want or ask for, but the real essentials of life, like an encouraged heart, you know, a peaceful mind, healthy relationships with others in our homes, families, and friends, and churches. So, again, I don't want to find myself, and I know that our listeners don't want to find themselves in a place where they simply don't have those essentials, spiritually speaking, because they fail to ask.
Yeah, I think we can minimize the effect of prayer in our life. I love one of the statements he said, we're not just talking to God, we're talking with God. And again, there's this beautiful privilege of worship and thanksgiving that leads to fellowship and concentration on who he is. And then there's petition. Then there's petition. And wouldn't you say, Pastor Love, I think with complaining, wouldn't that be a result of maybe the lack of prayer? It's this idea of the lack of perspective and focus. But when we're praying and have access to God, then we have his mind, his perspective, his hope. It's a beautiful, it's a privilege. I love that. It's a privilege. Because how many of us are like, oh, we don't pray enough and we don't do this enough. And Satan always makes it about performance. Isn't that interesting? He's always showing us the deficit. But God says, just come now. Come to me now in prayer. Talk to me. Even if it's a few words, it's beautiful. He hears our prayer.
Yeah. And, you know, I think of my wife. She often says to the small grandchildren, you know, use your words. Well, if we can use our words to complain, let's just turn that around. Say, I think I'll use my words to pray. Mm. Because we, in both cases, we're using words. So why not use them in a more productive, better way? Pray. Yeah. Speak to God. Talk with God. Well, let's go back to the second portion of today's message, the subject of prayer. It's an all-important one. And, of course, today, National Day of Prayer. Maybe, friends, you could find an opportunity to gather with some other believers that you know and carve out a portion of time. It doesn't have to be a lot of time. It's never really the quantity of time that we spend in prayer as much as it's the quality. So, again, you might have that opportunity today. We hope you do. And just, again, come boldly to that throne of grace and talk with God. Let's go back to the second portion of today's message, the subject of prayer.
Now, it's the same thing with prayer. Yes, God knows the end from the beginning, but we have not because we ask not in James 4:2. And many people ask amiss that they may consume it upon their own lust and self-centeredness. So here's a group of people that have not because they asked not. Then they have not because they prayed a self-centered prayer. You remember in Job 42:10, when Job prayed for his friends, It changed everything in his life, and he was blessed twice as much than he was originally in the beginning. And God gave him everything back twice over. Except I hope he didn't get two nagging wives. But Job prayed for his friends. See? Prayed for his friends. And when he prayed for his friends, thank God, Job's circumstances were changed. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, think of all the talking that goes on, and all the rationalizing, and all the ideas that people interact with over trials and problems and differences and circumstances and situations and petty grievances and serious differences. Here's the word of God, and it says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. And then men ought always to pray and never to faint in Luke 18. If you say unto this mountain, be cast into the sea, and believe in your heart, whatsoever you desire, it shall be done unto you. And so here's the word of God that teaches us there is tremendous value in prayer, and we have not because we ask not, and do not pray self-centered to consume it upon your lust. Now, I personally believe this, that when a flower receives the beautiful light of the sun and the moisture of rain, the flower just plain surrenders to the sun. Now, maybe somebody could suggest to the flower through auto-suggestion, say, this would happen anyway. I'm just, what am I doing out here being a flower? Surrendering to the sunlight does me any good. Wouldn't that be ridiculous? Here's a person that will say, well, you know, prayer is just auto-suggestion. You know, prayer is just auto-suggestion. You know, it's far more than that. But even if it was that, you'd be better off than you would be not to do it. But thank God it isn't that. At least you'd be getting yourself up on a higher level of understanding in life. But thank God, prayer is not auto-suggestion. Prayer is surrendering the heart to the Word of God, to the promises of God, and to talking with God, and to believing God in specific areas. So prayer must start out with surrender to God. Now, here's a child, and you say, well, you've got to go to the first grade. You got to go to grammar school. And the child says, no, I'm not going to do it. And you say, yes, you are going to do it. And little boy says, no, I'm not going to do it. And he cries. And then he has all these nervous tensions. And he almost convinces you that it's a crime to take him to school. And then once he gets there, the teacher is making him nervous. He needs psychological help. She's a meanie. That child has got every conniving thing in the book. Of course, the child doesn't. Well, most children do not say that, except yours, maybe. The child surrenders to the parents to get an education. So the doctor says, if you're not operated on, you will not be around over a month. But if you're operated on, maybe we can spare your life by the grace of God. So you say, not me. I'm not going to surrender to the surgeon's knife. No, sir, not me. Never. No knife in my body. Never. Is that what you do? No. No matter who you are at 99 3/4 of the time, you will surrender to the surgeon's knife. Why? To get operated on and to get help. Now, the flower surrenders to the sunlight. If a surgeon said to a blind man, if you let me operate, I can give you back your sight in this case. And the blind man says, no. He said, I'm going to remain free to be blind. He will not surrender to get his sight. Many believers will not surrender to God to have the power of God, the life of God, the love of God, the grace of God, the vision of God, the health of God, the purpose of God, the character of God, the wisdom of God, the discernment of God, the keenness of God, and the provision of God's grace. They will not surrender to God in prayer, and they'll pray 2 or 3 5 minutes a day, and it's stereotype at best, it's a sentimental prayer. And what's a sentimental prayer? Oswald Chambers mentions a sentimental prayer, I believe, in one of his devotionals. And he says that people pray a sentimental prayer because they think it, they ought to, and number two, they think they better, and number three, they want to be good evangelicals. And so prayer to them is a sentimental thing. You know, has a sentimental attachment to it. But they don't really come to prayer as sweet, sweet incense to God, with sweet odors going up to heaven, honoring their rites as a believer priest, you see?
Well, there we are, the second portion of today's Grace Hour message. Again, Pastor Jason, some great thoughts. And, you know, many will not surrender to God to have this wisdom and character and kindness and love and faith. You know, surrender, whenever we think of that word, we think of somebody who raises the white flag. You know, I give up. But maybe a better word would be yield, because that's all God ever asks us to do, just yield. And it just means kind of give way to God. You know, sometimes surrender might have the idea behind it that is difficult for some believers to comprehend. Almost as if there's some work or effort involved. I have to surrender. I have to give up. I have to make the white flag, raise it, and wave it. No, just yield. It's really quite simple. It's not complicated, is it?
That's a beautiful. It's a beautiful thought, because oftentimes we're fighting. We can fight against God in our unbelief, but when we yield, knowing that God knows more, God is actively moving in our situations. He hears our every word. It says that he stoops low and puts his ear to our mouth and hears every word. I mean, if we know who God is, that he's for his will in our lives, then yielding is a smart and a yielding and agreeing, right? It releases the power of God.
Sure does. We have a caller. Let's let this caller slip in here before we get to the third portion of our message today. Chad has been waiting, joining us live on the Grace Hour. Chad, welcome.
How are you all?
Very good. Good to hear from you, my friend.
Okay. You know, when you all was talking about prayer, it reminded me of Pastor Stevens, because every morning Pastor Stevens would come out, pray for the Bible College, over the Bible College. And during the services, Pastor Stevens would pray over the chairs. So that's what I wanted to say.
Yeah. I remember him coming in early and walking around the chapel and praying over those chairs. This was something that was so very much a part of his life. Wasn't it, Chad? It wasn't something that he would preach about from time to time, but it was something that he realized was a great opportunity, a great privilege, and he exercised it often.
Yeah, and he's done it also in the chapel. We would get up early in the morning, and he would pray over each flag in the chapel. So what a privilege to have him to do that.
Yeah, amen. Great memories of a pastor who not only preached the gospel very precisely and powerfully, but also his prayer life was effective. And we know that he had his own personal prayer room in his home, and had photographs, pictures of people from the body of Christ around the globe, and would often just intercede for them. It was a great privilege to have a pastor like that. And we have one now in Pastor Schaller. He does the same thing. If you've heard Pastor Schaller pray, you know that the hearts of so many people are, you know, in his heart, on his mind. And he brings their names before God so often. Chad, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. God bless you.
I think that's a great point, Pastor Love. Like when we pray, our heart is enlarged, because we're seeking God for or interceding for another. And, you know, I remember another memory from Pastor Stevens that I remember in his office. He had three questions when you went into counseling. It says, have you prayed about what we're going to talk about today? Number two, what did God say about what we're going to talk today? And number three, did you obey what God said to you? So I remember these. Maybe they're a little bit like these are how I process them, but very interesting way to approach counseling because prayer makes us receptive, isn't it? It makes us receptive and gives us expectation. I think a lot of us may struggle with expectation because we're looking at ourselves and like we see our limitations, but you know, I remember those prayer walks through the through the chapel, and just Lord bless the person that's going to sit in this seat. I mean, it was expectation, it was faith, action, it was imagination, healthy imagination.
Goes back to that principle that we've heard about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5: pray without ceasing. And you know, for the believer to understand that, you know, you can be driving your car and you can be praying, you know. I mean, obviously paying attention to the road. No,
don't close your
no
eyes.
No closing your eyes. But you can pray. I've done that often, you know.
Sure.
Just people, God places. And I think that that's so important to remember. When the Holy Spirit places someone on your heart, that's not, you know, just a drifting thought. There's a reason why God does that. And I think that we know what that's like. We've experienced that. And all too often, it would be easy for any of us to just say, oh, yes, oh, good to think about them. But if you think about them, pray for them. Because it could be that God has put them on your heart for a reason. And then oftentimes we discover afterwards, we see them. It may not be right away, but maybe days later, weeks later, we say, you know, God really put you on my heart. I've been praying for you. And they say, well, that makes sense. And then, you know, you make the connection between the Spirit of God placing that person on your heart and the needs that they experienced and then the answer that came from God. So, I mean, prayer works. Intercession yeah. works. And for anyone to ignore this great privilege and opportunity is to really ignore the moving and the prompting of God through His Spirit.
You know, just a practical example of that is Indi Brooks speaking with her. Her precious husband passed on into glory, and you know, she said this statement: "I can feel the prayers. I can feel it." And what a testimony! Because these are not sentimental prayers; these are not auto suggestions, which was a really good point from Pastor Stevens here. But really, there's a connection in the Spirit. Because isn't it true, Pastor Love? Our natural man does not know or understand the things of God. So if people are on our heart, most likely that is a spiritual transference from the Spirit saying, listen, they're in struggle or there's a need. And the compilation of prayers is there's a momentum and power that breaks the yoke of bondage in people's lives. So someone might say, you know, everyone's praying for that person. I don't need to pray for that person. Or what's my prayer really all about? The compilation of prayer, it's momentous and it's powerful and it breaks the yoke of bondage. It's good. Mm,
amen. Friends, this is a great time for you to go to your phones. The lines are now open. 800-338-7060 is the toll-free number. And the local number, 410-483-3700. We do have one more portion of the message. We're going to get to it in a moment. But I want to mention as well, those of you that have contacted us, Facebook Live, YouTube Live, and your comments are coming into the studio, and we appreciate it. Julie said, need prayer for my husband. He's been diagnosed with schizophrenia. He needs the right medication. Please pray that God will step into the situation. Well, Father, we do pray for Julie's husband. He has really gone through quite a lot over many years. And again, Lord, we pray that You would give wisdom to the doctors as they treat his condition. And we pray for healing. And we pray that, again, if medication can help to correct these issues, we pray that, again, it would be the right medication and the right dose of the medication. And we just pray that healing would come to his heart as you flood that heart with your love and reveal to him your grace and deal with him in your great mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And Tess has written to us as greetings, pastors from Sweden. Thanks be to God. The more we know about the Lord, the better we know him, the more we will know to whom we are speaking, the more we will be able to trust him for his answers. All the great men and women of the Bible saw a clear and had a deep knowledge of the one to whom they were praying. That's a great thought. I think it makes a great deal of sense that the more you know God, the more you will want to approach him with your needs or the needs of others, because you know he longs for you and I to bring those needs into his presence.
Hmm.
And Eddie has written to us. He's out in Las Vegas, Nevada, I believe. Pray for my son. He's going in for surgery this month. Will we pray for Ed's son? Don't understand the nature of this surgery. That's not important, but we do pray that you would indeed bring him through this surgery without any complications, Lord, and whatever needs to be corrected or dealt with would be done so precisely, accurately, resulting in his total and complete health. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take a testimony from Renee, who's joining us live here, well, I believe from the Baltimore area. Renee, welcome.
Hi, Pastor Love and Pastor Jason. I'm actually in Connecticut right now.
Yeah, you move about, so we were hesitant to say where you may be calling us from.
Right, yeah. So, you know what, I wanted to share a testimony about the greatest lesson in prayer I've ever learned.
Mm.
We remember that little hole-in-the-wall prayer prayer room we had in Lenox.
Yes.
Well, I was there, and I didn't want to be there, but I had signed up, and the Holy Spirit convicted me to be there. And while I was there, Pastor came in, and he got on his knees, and he started praying. For a half an hour, he prayed. And I knew the names of the men that he were praying for, and I knew what they had done to him. And he wasn't praying, God, get even with them. He was praying, God, bless them. God, touch their hearts. God, move in their hearts. God, love them today. And, you know, here I was, just this little Bible college student, nobody that needed to be impressed. But he was there, and he was praying, and it was the most amazing lesson I'd ever learned in prayer, because he was loving people in his prayer.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because love makes such a difference in people's lives. I read a quote just the other day where a physician, medical doctor, was asked, you know, what is the best medicine for the human race? And he said, love.
Yeah.
And then the person responded and said, well, what if that doesn't work? And his answer was, increase the dose.
I love that. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. Love always wins the day. And,
amen.
And Pastor Stevens, yeah, he was just a beautiful example of that. You know, because we're told to love our enemies, love those who despitefully use us. Easy. Jesus said, anybody can love those who love you. But what about the ones that don't love you? That's where the challenge is in our lives.
Amen. Amen.
Well, thanks for sharing that, Rennie. We appreciate it.
And while I have you on the line, I would love to ask for prayer. I don't know what's going on with my blood pressure. It's through the roof. I need to call my doctor this afternoon, but I've had 3 days of just uncontrolled blood pressure.
Well, let's touch and agree here, Rennie. Good to hear from you. And precious Father, we thank you for Rennie. We thank you for Kathy, but we're lifting up our brother here today. High blood pressure is a scary thing, and we just ask that you'd supernaturally give wisdom and give understanding. But we're asking today that you touch his body and bring everything into balance, Lord. Bless our precious brother today in your precious name, their time in Connecticut, and anybody else listening today that needs a touch. We just agree in faith for them today in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, gentlemen, and thanks for being there. An amazing week this week.
Amen. Thank you, Rennie. Appreciate the call. Phone lines are open. You can join us, 800-338-7060. That's toll-free in all of North America. And here in the Baltimore area, friends, you can join us at 410-483-3700. Now let's get back to the third, final portion of Pastor Stephen's message today entitled The Subject of Prayer.
So, I think that prayer must become something far more than a sentimental interest. Now, prayer, you think it over. Jesus said so much about it. In Matthew 6:6, he said, when you pray, go into a closet, shut the door, pray to the Father in secret, and pray in secret, and he shall publicly answer you. I like that. Okay, what was God doing in that Matthew 6:6 instruction? The Father wants to spend time with you, the Father heart of God. He wants you to get to know him, free of emotional conflict, free of mental pressures, free of circumstances involving problems, free of all that's going on in your life. He wants you to have this secret place in your heart, this quiet place where you get alone and close the door on your emotions and close the door on your mentality and be calm and quiet and rest. And you know that's what he wants. And he wants you to get to know his heart and pray to the Father. And he says he will publicly answer you. Oh, that's how we get to know the Father's heart. Is praying in secret to the Father, having a tremendous time of prayer with our Father daily. Oh, Father, it's me again in trouble. And here it is. Here I am again. But listen, prayer that isn't self-centered, we'll pray for our friends who are bad friends. We pray for our enemies who are bad enemies. And pray for them. And pray for a situation. How many Christians get aroused in their flesh when circumstances are adverse instead of getting aroused in prayer with their Father's heart in secret? Right away, here we go. Listen, do you know what happened to me today? Do you know what they did to me? Do you know what they did to me? Well, I'll lose my reputation. I wonder what would happen if you went in secret and prayed. And trusted God for the whole situation. I don't know how many times that I couldn't do it any other way because, and I just had to believe God in secret. And he publicly answered, publicly blessed me, publicly blessed the ministry, publicly honored our prayers, publicly honored his call on our lives, publicly honored and this ministry with fruitfulness, publicly did it, but we prayed in secret. Prayer is a beautiful thing. Pray without ceasing. Men are always to pray and never to the faint. Say unto this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, not doubting, and whatsoever you desire, it shall be given unto you. I was thinking of this today, and I just got excited. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. I like that. See? Oh, boy, listen. If you ask anything in my character, in my nature, if my words abide in you, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will, and it'll be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified that you bring forth much fruit, in John 15:7-8. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it, John 14:13. Whatsoever you ask in my name, I'll do it, Matthew 21:22. You see, and Jesus pointed to the cross, and he said, you shall ask in my name, and it shall be done unto you. And in John 16:26, pointing ahead to the cross. And listen, prayer is really something. Listen, the woman doesn't have enough in her house to pay her debtors, and they're coming after her sons, and the prophet's there. The prophet's there. The man of God. And his name? His name is Elisha. And he says, go in, shut the door, get empty containers, as many as you can get, borrow not a few, and pray. She went in, She shut the door, she prayed, and God supernaturally filled all of those vessels, and she had enough to pay her debtors and enough left over besides. Shut door in prayer. Oh, I like it. Listen, Gehazi, the carnal man. Remember, the Shunammite's son died. That represents the natural man. He's dead in his sins, represents. He died. And Gehazi went with the staff and couldn't awaken him. Remember that? Who was the prophet? See if you remember. 2 Kings. Elijah. What did he do? Was it Elijah or Elisha? What did he do? He went in and what? Shut the door. What did he do? The first thing he did was shut the door. He came in, went out, came in, went out. The child finally began to sneeze as Elijah kept coming back. And then he got on the child face to face and prayed and shut the door, and his staff was there, power in the word of God. And the child came to light. How did it happen? Through shut door with the father, and the son was raised. Now listen, how many heartaches God's people have had because they've never learned how to pray. I think it's a tragedy. It really is. I was thinking of Isaiah 49:16 when God said he wondered why there was not an intercessor. Think of that. He wondered why there was no intercessor. Can't you picture it? Here's all the trials and heartaches and tears and loneliness and all the sins and failures of people not getting saved in the family and bad marriages and teenagers going wild in certain situations and sin availing in certain quarters, and he wonders why there is no intercessor. Oh, listen, he says, you have not because you ask not. Pray without ceasing. Whatsoever you ask in my name, I'll do it. Ask and you shall receive. Ask and you shall receive. Listen, God wants us to learn how to pray. And God wants us to pray. And he gives us these illustrations. Listen, I want to bless you. I want to open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings. And so prayer goes up for the unsaved husband. Prayer goes up for the carnal husband. Don't try to change him. Pray for him. Pray for him. Love him and pray for him. Pray for him and love him. Pray in secret. Oh, Father, listen, Satan's been having his way. Would you please? And then come back and say, Father, here it is again. Here it is again. And the Father hears you in secret and will reward you publicly. Oh, listen, I can't even begin to tell you the power we have in prayer, the potential everyone has when they can release their life in a life of prayer.
Well, that's the conclusion, friends, of today's Grace Hour message on the subject of prayer. Some great thoughts, tremendous thoughts, really. Just, coming away from that last portion thinking, ask, seek, knock, and you will receive. Learning the secret of abiding in Christ, and there are three things in particular that we will experience, and one of the three that's brought out in John chapter 15 is effectual prayer. I mean, we will have fruit that is perpetual, ongoing. We read about that in John 15:16, but one of the other things he says, you will ask what you will, it will be done. And that's a direct result of abiding in Christ. So enjoy fellowship with God. Enjoy walking by faith. And then it's almost as if the spiritual reality of prayer is natural to the believer. We're just asking. We're just talking. We're just communicating with God. And, these prayers just come forth from our hearts. And I love that statement that he said, prayer frees us from mental and emotional distress. It's almost as if God is saying, there is a place where you can go and release your burdens. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Do we enjoy doing that? Have we even realize that that's possible. Too many Christians are carrying burdens, unnecessary burdens through life, when Jesus says, just leave them right here at the foot of the cross. And they may not be physical burdens. It could be like, you know, I've got mad thoughts, and I've got bad thoughts, and I've got sad thoughts. And Jesus says, great, you just leave them right here at the foot of the cross. You just, you know, unload those to me. And, you know, I like the way somebody would say, if I give God my mad, my bad, and my sad thoughts, you know, what do I have left? Good ones.
Yeah.
Good thoughts. That's all. And that's how God wants us to live our lives.
I love that. I love that. Just thinking that God wants to spend time with us. And that's a revolutionary thought, like the God of heaven, the God of the universe, the God of infinity, and that he is actually, in Isaiah 55:3, wants to hear from us. And don't you think, Pastor Love, it's hard to maybe stop and just focus. Maybe we're all over the place in our minds, but how prayer, we push through with prayer and say, God, I surrender these conflicts, these mental pressures. And I remember what David said, I believe in Psalm 31, he is my hiding place. He is. And today, if you're overwhelmed or exhausted or full of yourself, come to this place, this secret place, and let him just unload the toxicity in your life, and God will give you, he'll reward you openly. You know, I got to say this, Pastor Love, real quick. I've been really meditating on Isaiah 61:4, and just with the National Day of Prayer. Our country, we don't even recognize it anymore, and the need for intercessors. And I love that point that Pastor brought up about he wondered, where are the intercessors? And I think this is a day and age more than ever that we can't be casual in this area, but literally nations are weighing in the balance. But is there someone praying? And this promise here in 61:4 of Isaiah, and they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the ruined cities. And I just see that with you. The desolation of many generations. And this promise that was given right at the cusp of judgment in Israel. And Jeremiah walked through that. And he was a weeping prophet that prayed, could we storm heaven for our nation, for our city, for our town, for our family, for our marriage, for our church, praying for our pastor, praying for... it's sometimes the last thing we do, and God's saying, it needs to be the first thing, because otherwise there's no power in it. And I just think with you, like, I'm burdened with our country and our world, that God, please send revival. Turn the wandering heart. Turn and humble the proud heart. And judgment on a nation is often expressed with bad leadership. And boy, we could say a lot about that. But we know that God is greater than the king, right? And we can pray. We can pray. And that is our privilege. And that's where the power is. And that's where the anointing is. And that's where things change. So I'm stirred up about this message. It's a good word. It's a great word.
It is. And it's just a great, great opportunity that God has presented us with. This amazing, you know, you just think of that wonderful, wonderful hymn, Sweet Hour of Prayer. And again, we're not putting any time limitations on our prayers. But just to be able to step away from the hectic busyness of life and to get alone with God. I mean, again, we mentioned, I think the other day, we said that Jesus did that. And if the Son of God, if God in the flesh found it necessary to step away from everything that was happening in his life and in his ministry, how much more important it must be for us to do just that. Elijah did it. Daniel did it. And in each instance, there were tremendous results. And again, we're just encouraged in our hearts today to set some time aside. And I think that that has to be done. Because if we don't, well, it's been said that all of us do exactly what we purpose in our hearts to do. And if we purpose in our hearts to pray, it'll happen. It'll happen. Phone lines are open. We'd love to hear from you, friends. We've got about 10 minutes left in the broadcast. That's plenty of time to take your calls at 800-338-7060. And, of course, the local number right here in Baltimore, 410-483-3700. Let's go to Lou. Is it Lou that's joining us locally? Hi, Lou.
Hello.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I just wanted to interject something on the topic of prayer, and it's based on James 5. And it's an element I think we often forget about prayer. And James says it's the prayer of faith that accomplishes everything. In other words, not just prayer, but we really have to be sure that we are believing, which means in Hebrews 11, we have to have certainty. We do not doubt in Mark 11, you know, if we don't doubt in our hearts. And a lot of times prayer is just kind of like, you know, ventilating, but there's not a lot of faith behind it because it's still alive in everything afterwards. And so we really have to make sure we build ourselves up in our faith. And just like a testimony, we 2 weekends ago, we had our third 24-hour prayer and fasting and worship time. We called the church and other churches in the area to pray 24 hours, and we did that literally, and we had amazing participation. I mean, the place was full for hours and hours. And of course, in the, you know, the wee hours, it dies down. People do go home. Some people fall asleep. You know, the youth are all in the back, you know, snoring. And but we stay here. Most people stay here 24 hours, and we pray, and we worship, and we pray, and we just live in His presence. And most of the time, it's not so much asking. It's just simply relating to Him and getting His thoughts and feeling, which is what faith comes from, is from hearing Him. And just last night, we had a testimony. A woman came up. I was doing some classes, and she came up and says, "I got healed, you know, during the prayer." It was just amazing. She said, I had to take my medicine and everything. I think she had headaches. And just being in God, sometimes being and resting in His presence is enough. And I can also say this, like, for all our years in Mexico, we, and you know, at the risk of sounding like I'm bragging or anything, sometimes when you share a testimony, you got to take that risk, right? And, you know, we had no money. We didn't ask anybody for money. And I'm going to say this. I didn't even ask God. What we simply did is believe. We just believed God. And if there was a crisis, which often there was, you know, five kids on the mission field, and it's not cheap necessarily, but we just simply, like, if there was a crisis, we just got in that place of, I believe you got it. You sent us here, and you're going to supply, and that's it. And you rejoice. Actually, you rejoice. The prayer of faith makes you rejoice when you see no results, no evidence. And anyway, I just wanted to share that and encourage people. These long times of prayer as a body are very, very powerful. Like Pastor Jason said, you know, the accumulated prayers are magnificent. They're very, very powerful. So,
Great thoughts, Pastor Moon. Your name came up on the screen as Pastor Lou, so we were a little confused at first, but once we heard your voice, we discerned it was you.
Pastor Lou from heaven is calling.
Yeah, we were like, well, what's that all about?
I guess my pronunciation was good.
it's amazing to think that you can have those, and I remember we've on occasion had those 24-hour prayer meetings, and you're right. It's not 24 hours of bringing our grocery list before God. It's being in His presence. It's worship. It's praise. It's acknowledging His character and nature. And all of that goes a long, long way to really bringing us in a deeper relationship with who God is.
Yeah, I love that testimony, Pastor Moon. It's there's so much sowing in prayer that maybe we don't see right away, and maybe we do, but maybe we pray in October and God answers in December. You know, it's that principle. And And that I love these points, the certainty and building ourselves up and really believing God. It's a practice of expectation and again believing God for our cities and for our towns and for our neighborhoods and for our families. Like, not don't stop praying. The devil fears the weakest believer on his knees. And so today maybe you don't know what to say, and then God will give it to you as you worship him, right, Pastor Love? God will give it to you as he worships. And this is such a good broadcast today, that God wants to heal, God wants to move, God wants to save, God, and, you know, he's looking for the intercessor. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And let's also just believe when we, like, pray for something like that looks daunting, like the, what you said, we don't recognize our nation anymore, that evil has taken it over, the highest ranks, and they have all the power. And what are we going to do? We can be anxious and upset, I think is appropriate, of course, at some times, but that gets transformed into faith, belief, resting, and victory. And when we pray for our nation, let's just believe, even before I pray, I believe God's going to do something incredible, and it already is.
Yeah.
And transforming lives, changing people's minds, and taking off the cover, the shroud of darkness that's on our nation.
Amen. Pastor Moon, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate those thoughts.
You bet.
God bless you. And there's, you know, a beautiful testimony of what God has been so faithfully doing in their lives in the country of Mexico for, I think, over 30 years.
Yeah.
I mean, being in a position where you need financial help and it's not there. And his testimony was, we didn't even ask God for it. We just kept believing. We knew that he called us here. We knew we are here for God's purpose. And so we just kept believing. Sometimes that's what prayer really is all about. You just come before the throne of grace and you're just believing God. You might not even be able to get some words out, so to speak. And I think that we're so comforted also when we think of the fact that when we can't pray, the Holy Spirit is praying for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. We also are reminded of the fact that Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us. And that's a source of great hope, encouragement as well. Because there have been times when I've gone before God and said, listen, I can't pray, but all I can do is thank you that Jesus is interceding for me. The Spirit is interceding for me with groanings that baffle words.
Yeah. Hebrews 11:6, right? Another great portion, believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So many of us want to do, but as we pray, God shows us where he's moving.
Amen. Well, we'll close with this one verse, John 14:14. Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Well, we hope you'll keep asking, friends. God bless you. Until tomorrow, we'll join you for the Friday edition of the Grace Hour. Until then, may God bless you.